Hey, grab a Bible today and turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, while you're turning there, let me remind the guys that we got a big road trip coming up at the end of August, actually like 1 month from today. And there's still space for you guys, $225, it's an absolute bargain, and you need to sign up. Now, I know some guys that signed up, like they're coming off the list because they can't go or whatever, so there's room for you guys, and I want to encourage you to go. It'll be the best time that you have all year. We got a great speaker, Paul Blue, coming from Texas. It's going to be a great time. So guys, please sign up and then get your $225 in for the men's ministry road trip. I want you to turn to Philippians 2 because we're going to see an important passage there in just a moment. But what we're actually doing this summer is we're studying through 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And today we're going to talk about this truth, love is humble. We're rolling through what we're calling the summer of love, and we're going to talk about this truth today. Love is humble. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 5, that love is patient and kind, and love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Folks, if we want to build and maintain authentic relationships, we must learn to be humble. We must possess humility. We're going to talk about humility. And we need to understand this right up front. Humility is very misunderstood. When we talk about godly humility, many times we misunderstand what God intended. So, just briefly, let's talk about what humility is not. Humility is not shyness. Humility is not weakness. Humility is not a lack of confidence. Humility is not insecurity. Humility is not having a low opinion of you. Humility is not about being a doormat. Humility is not poor self-esteem. Humility is not self-degradation. And in fact, humility requires a lot of courage. Humility requires self-confidence, self-esteem, and personal security. See, insecure people struggle the most with humility. Insecurity produces pride. In fact, most people that are arrogant, prideful, and egotistical are deeply insecure. Pride is almost always a cover-up for insecurity. And insecurity causes us to brag and boast and exaggerate. And insecurity produces hypocrisy. It causes us to be judgmental. Now, Jesus is the ultimate example of humility. And it's because he knew exactly who he was. He knew precisely whom he was and what he was called to do. Now, here's the cool thing about the Bible. Just about any topic that interests you can be found in the Bible. And there's a bunch of scriptures in the Bible about humility. And many of those passages have a promise attached to them. And I'm not going to have you know, turn to them all, and I didn't even put them all in your notes, but let me just read a couple of things that the Bible says about humility. The Bible says that God saves the humble. God supports the humble. God promises to guide the humble. The Bible says that God gives wisdom to the humble. It says that God will rescue the humble. The Bible says that God promises to exalt the humble. Now, that's something that you will notice about what the Bible teaches about humility. Honor always follows humility. Honor follows humility. Now, all those things are true about what the Bible says what God will do for the humble, but on the other hand, God hates pride. Proverbs chapter 6 says that there's seven things that God hates. Number one, pride. Now, next week, Richie's going to take the reins up here and teach, and he's going to talk a little bit more about respect and about honor, and you'll see how humility and respect and honor go together. You'll see how much God hates pride and how much he loves humility, and then that honor that follows humility. God hates pride, but God loves humility. Here's what the Bible says in Isaiah 66:2. He says, I will bless those who have humble and contrite hearts, who tremble at my word. God hates pride, but he loves humility. God promises all of these things that we talked about for those who are humble. But what is it? What is humility? I mean, we know what it's not, but what is humility? Well, we know that love is humble, and that means that humility is something that you do. It is active. Humility is a way of acting and thinking. It's part of love. Love is a way of acting and thinking. Humility is a part of loving. So humility is a way of acting and thinking. Humility is not about feelings. It is a way of acting. It's a way of thinking. Therefore, humility, like love, is something that you choose. The Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. Do you see that? Humility and then honor. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. Humility is something that we choose. We can choose to humble ourselves before the Lord. It's something that we do. Now, I've known people who have prayed for humility. They've prayed that God would take their pride away from them. But in truth, pride is not something that God takes from us. It's something that we need to give up to God. It's a choice. Humility is a choice where we choose to let go of self-centeredness and arrogance, and we let go of our ego. We choose instead to act in humility. So here's your definition. Humility is thinking about others and forgetting about yourself. It's not thinking less of yourself. It's simply not thinking about yourself. Humility is thinking about others and forgetting about yourself. Now, here's the great thing about humility. It can be learned. You can work on it. We learn to love and we learn to be humble. We learn to love and we learn to be humble by repeatedly acting in love. Now, check this out in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. John writes, dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. See, love is something that we can practice. We get good at loving others and living humbly by repeating it over and over. That's how we learn to do what we do. We practice. If you've ever played an instrument or played a sport with any success at all, there's a very good chance that you got better by practicing. When we do things over and over again, we get good at them. Love and humility is something that we can practice. We get good at living this way by doing it over and over again. Now, I want us to get good at this. I want to get good at this. So here are four ways to practice love and humility. And now some of you are like, you know, I don't really think that I need this message. If you feel that way, you probably need it more than anybody else. Because if you think you're really humble, you're probably not. If you don't ever think about it, you probably are. Here's the thing about humility and pride. We can identify pride in another person instantly, and we hate it. But it's very easy to be blind to our own pride. It's easy to see it in LeBron James. It may not be as easy for me to identify in me. All right, so let's roll. To learn humility, I must practice giving preference to others. We can literally practice letting someone else go first. We can give way to another person. Every once in a while, I like to share one of these, so can I tell you one of my pet peeves? One of my pet peeves is people who try to get on an elevator before people have a chance to get off of the elevator. Are you really in that big a hurry? More importantly, are you really that important? You know, there was a time in America, and I remember because I was very young, when we had what we would call common courtesy, like people would be genuinely courteous and mannered, and they would give preference to others. Those days are gone. However, as Christ followers, we are called to love. Part of loving is living with humility. Part of humility is giving preference to others. Do you realize that that characteristic alone could set you apart as a Christ follower? Just being courteous. The Bible says in Romans 12:10, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Can I just tell you, we need to bring honor back. We do. We need to bring honor back. We need to honor God more. We need to honor parents more. We need to honor our country more. We need to honor each other more. We need to honor our brothers and sisters in Christ more. We need to honor lost people, people who are far from God. We need to honor them more. We need to give preference to others. Leonard Bernstein, the great musical conductor, was asked, what's the most difficult instrument in the orchestra to play? And he said, second fiddle. And isn't that the truth? Give honor, give preference to others. Practice playing second fiddle. Bring honor back. Do you realize that if you're a child of God, if you've been saved by faith in Jesus Christ, do you realize that you are saved because Jesus gave preference to you? Look at this. I had you turn there in Philippians 2 because I want you to see it. Philippians 2 verses 3 through 8. The Apostle Paul writes, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others is better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. See, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. No, instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Jesus came from heaven to earth and was born and then laid in a feeding trough, lived and worked as a carpenter, then left his home and lived without a home to minister to those who were in need. He did that for 3 years, and then he was arrested, beaten, and died a criminal's death so that we might be forgiven and have a life here on earth and eternal life in heaven. It was all done through preference for us. Honor others. Give preference to others. That's what love and humility does. It gives preference to others. Here's the second thing. If I'm going to learn humility, I have to learn from others. To really learn humility, we must be open to the suggestions, correction, and even criticisms of others. Part of humility is being teachable. We must be willing to listen and learn and grow. Now, there are many reasons to be open to learning from others. Let me just give you a few. Let me offer a few. If you learn from others, you'll be more likable. Because nobody likes to know it all. It's just not very endearing. Proverbs 15:12 says, mockers, that's conceited people, they hate to be corrected, so they stay away from the wise. They stay away from the wise because they don't want to be corrected. They don't want to learn. See, pride is rooted in insecurity. We will be more likable if we're not so arrogant. We'll be more likable if we're open to teaching. Oh, you know it's true. Arrogance is annoying. And humility is endearing. Not only will you be more likable, but you will be wiser. If you learn from others, you'll be wiser. Duh. Proverbs 15:32 says, if you reject discipline, you only harm yourself. But if you listen to correction, you grow in understanding. If you reject correction, you're just hurting yourself. Here's what I know to be true. Humble people are always learning. Humble people are always learning, and they're open to correction. And here's what's awesome about this. I know some things that you don't know, and you know some things I don't know. And we learn from each other, and then we grow in wisdom, and we grow in love, and we grow in humility. And here's the thing. In life, we have to decide if we want to be wise or if we want to appear to be wise. You can be smart or you can appear to be smart. See, and if you want to look smart, you can never let on that you don't know. But if you want to be really smart, you have to be continually learning. Proverbs 18:15 says, intelligent people are always ready to learn. Their ears are open for knowledge. Be teachable. Learn from others. You'll be more likable. You'll be smarter. And you'll have less conflict. If you'll learn to learn from others, you'll have less conflict in your life. You will experience less conflict if you're open to correction from others. The Bible says it straight out in Proverbs 13:10. Pride leads to conflict. Those who take advice are wise. Now think about this. Pride is behind just about every argument. If you're arguing with your spouse, you can bet that pride is a big factor. Proverbs 13:10 is really a great verse to memorize for life and for your marriage and other relationships. Because here's the deal. If you recognize that pride leads to conflict and arguments, you will be better prepared to diffuse the argument and the situation. So whenever things flare up, in a relationship, in your marriage, wherever, at work, start looking for the pride. Try to discover what role that pride is playing in this. And it might be pride on their part, it might be pride on your part, but pride will be a factor in every argument. Now check this out. Every time that you're criticized, God is testing you. Criticism is always a test of your humility. You can count on it. When we are criticized, God is testing our humility. Will we be defensive, offensive, or humble? Anytime you're criticized, God is testing your humility to see if you're going to respond in a defensive way, an offensive way, or a humble way. And I will be the first to admit that this is difficult, and I will tell you straight out, I struggle with this. And here's typically what happens in my life when I'm criticized. I get defensive, and then I get offensive. That's the way it works for me. So I'm trying to learn from others. I'm trying to receive construction and correction and criticism. And God is working on me. And it's all about pride. It's about pride. It's about being right. It's about getting my way. And I'm trying to learn humility. I'm trying to learn to love. And God is teaching me through others. And I have found this. When I respond with humility, I have less conflict in my life. Now listen to this. And you might want to write this down. Humility is not for wimps. Humility is not for sissies. It's not for wimps. It's not for low self-esteem, insecure people. Because it takes courage to be humble, and it takes courage to learn from others. It takes courage to receive correction and criticism and wisdom from others. It takes courage to ask somebody to give you advice. It takes courage to admit that you're wrong. We learn humility by learning from others. And it goes hand in hand with this next one. If I'm going to learn humility and learn to love, I must admit when I am wrong. Now, this comes a little easier for some of us than it does for others. The truth of it is, all of us make mistakes. We do so with amazing regularity. And sometimes we're even okay with admitting that we're wrong because we can figure out a way to even use that to our advantage. And here's what we do. We'll say, I was wrong, but you. See, that's kind of an admission of wrong, but it's really more like a weapon. I was wrong, yeah, but you. We use our admission to go on the offensive. You know, I'm really sorry, but if you had. Or we admit our wrong and then we start making excuses. See, to really grow in humility, we must own it. We must admit when we are wrong. If we're going to learn humility, we must admit when we are wrong. I love Twitter. And I follow some cool people on Twitter. And one of the guys that I follow on Twitter is a golf coach named Hank Haney. He used to be Tiger Woods' coach. Great golf coach. One of the things that he always says on Twitter is, no sugarcoating. In fact, he says it so much now, all he has to write is NSC. And all of us that follow him know that means no sugarcoating. I love that. No sugarcoating, just owning. If you ask him a question, he's going to tell you the truth every single time, whether you like it or not. No sugarcoating. No sugarcoating, just owning. Keep it real. Take responsibility. Admit when you're wrong. No excuses. See, that kind of honesty leads to real humility. Proverbs 28:13 says, people who conceal their sins will not prosper. But if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. Now, you might want to write this in your notes too, because I didn't put it in there for you. There's probably not any real admission until there's some repentance. Until you turn from it, you probably haven't really admitted it to yourself and to everybody else. Real admission, really admitting you're wrong, will include repentance. It will include changing. It will include turning and going a different way. It will include stopping that. And so that's a good tip for my life and probably yours too. If you haven't changed what you're admitting, then maybe you haven't really admitted it. Now, come on, we all know that we're not perfect. Admit when we're wrong. Admit when you're wrong. Live with humility. And if you will, love will grow. By the way, nothing will heal a relationship quicker than admitting your fault out of a spirit of genuine humility. Here's the last thing you have to do. If you want to live with humility, you have to surrender your plans to God. I have to surrender my plans to God. Now, again, this is another killer for me. I love a good plan, and many of you know this about me. I love a good plan. And here's what I typically do. I make a plan, right? Many times without consulting God. I make a plan, and then I begin to ask God to bless my plans. See, we do this. We assume that our plans are His will. We make plans without consulting God, and then when things don't work out, we get upset with Him. That is straight pride. If you make a plan without consulting God, and your plan doesn't come to fruition, and you blame God, that's straight pride. You're saying, I know better than you, God. That is straight pride, and God hates pride. James chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, But God gives us even more grace to stand against such evil desires. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but favors the humble. So humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be opposed by God. I can't win that one. And I want you to make note of the wording here. When we are proud, God is not just mildly irritated with us. He is in opposition to us. If you read James 4, 6, and 7, and if you kind of read between the lines, you know what the writer James, who's Jesus' half-brother, you know what he's saying there? He's saying, all I hear you talk about is that you want the devil off your behind. Well, if you live with pride, it's God who opposes you. The devil is the least of your problems. He's not mildly irritated. God is opposed to us when we live with pride. Because when we live in pride, we are playing God. And when we are proud, we are an enemy of God. And so James says, you must make the choice to humble yourselves before God. So here's a really good question. How do you do that? Well, it looks like this in Romans 6:13. Paul writes, do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. That's how you live in humility. You give yourself completely to God. You humble yourself before God and you give yourself completely to Him. You surrender everything to God. Your plans, your dreams, your goals, your relationships, your marriage, your kids, your career, your life. You give it all up to God. It's saying, God, you know what is best, and I trust you with my life. God, you know what is best, and I trust you with every aspect of my life. That is humility. Did you know that the words humor and humility and humanity and human all come from the same root word? It's all the same word. So humility is when you take God seriously and you don't take yourself so seriously. Humility is actually being in touch with your humanity. It's just being honest about your humanity. And if we're honest, we all have strengths and weaknesses. Humility is being honest about both. Humility is the understanding that God has a purpose and a plan for your life, and it is best. And see, love and humility find root in surrendering to God's will and God's ways. Love is not proud. Love is humble. It's a choice. And it is really this simple. This is what God wants. In the Old Testament, in the book of Micah, chapter 6, verse 6 through 8, here's what the Bible says. What can we bring to the Lord? What kind of offerings should we give Him? Should we bow before God with offerings of yearling calves? Should we offer Him thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Should we sacrifice our firstborn children to pay for our sins? No, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what He requires of you: to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Do what is right, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Would you pray with me? Father God, when Micah puts it that way, it seems so simple. Just do what's right. Just obey you, your will, your way. Love mercy. Walk humbly with you, God. It seems so simple, but God, we can make it so difficult. And Father God, we know that at the end of the day, it really just comes down to love. Do we love enough to give preference to others? Do we love enough to learn from others? Do we love enough, Father, to be obedient to your will, to your ways? And Father, we recognize today that it's our choice. It's something that each one of us can choose. So I pray, Father, by your Spirit, by your power, that we would choose to be humble. That we would humble ourselves before you, God. That we would be humble in front of and to each other. Father, that you might be honored and glorified. So that somehow, some way, we may represent our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to your honor and glory, to the furtherance of your kingdom, so that others might see and recognize their need for Jesus. Work in us, Father. Lead us, Father. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.